You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Follow Up Boss, one of the leading CRMs, client relationship managers, for residential real estate. Tons of top producing agents and some of the fastest growing teams out there are using Follow Up Boss to increase lead conversion, eliminate busy work that you're not doing anyway, and frankly, deliver a higher class experience in real estate to everybody who chooses you as their realtor of choice. So if you're going to keep listening to this, which I know you will, there's more information and a personal review of Follow Up Boss. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. Well, hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I've got for you Sean Winslow. Now, Sean, don't let his youth surprise you because, you know, sometimes the young people know things and they're also willing to share that great amount of knowledge. So he's going to bring to us a financial background that has led into a really interesting real estate future and present, frankly. So you're going to learn some stuff. You're going to hear a couple of really good stories. So stay tuned in. I'll see you on the other side. Hello, Sean. Sorry I'm late. My other conversation ran over, which is the story of my life.
You're good. How are you?
Fantastic. I hope you are.
I'm doing great. Happy Monday.
So welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. Honored to be here.
Tell me about who Sean Winslow is, where you're located, what you do in and around real estate. Tell all of my audience so they can know something about Sean.
Yeah. So you can either find me in Boston or New Hampshire. I kind of float between the two. Traditionally, I started off in financial services, working for an asset manager. So think like your Fidelities, your Vanguard. So I worked for a big firm that had about $1.7 trillion in assets under management. And so I was working with advisors, broker-dealers, back office people about our products that we offered. So anything from ETFs to mutual funds. We had some REITs and real estate funds as well. But I just realized after a while that wasn't where my heart was. In my opinion, it's not the ideal investment. Obviously, real estate is. That's why we're here. And so I kind of took a different journey. And I started building my own portfolio. And I got it up to about 25 units. And then I really just wanted to go commercial. So that's what I'm doing now is commercial multifamily. We syndicate them, bring in investors, usually value add opportunity. So we go in and reposition the property, usually 3 to 5 years, and then go find the next. And so that's kind of who I am, where I'm from. And yeah, and happy to be here, like I said, and talk some real estate.
So one thing I'm fascinated by, you might not know this, I was a stockbroker prior to getting into real estate.
Really?
I worked for the old Prudential Securities a long time ago before they got swallowed up in several M&As. So people like you came to my office to put on luncheons and dinners
exactly.
And cocktail hours for us to sell us your 6 favorite mutual funds. And I enjoy the free food, to be quite honest. That's how I would think about the Vanguards of the world, because Prudential wanted to sell their own funds because it was beneficial for Prudential, but it wasn't about what was best for the end client. And it could be the right fit, but it wasn't necessarily the right fit, which drove me crazy in financial services, how quickly an advisor could go from, well, what's best for them to what might be fine for them, so that what's best for the advisor came into play. And then you go into real estate. If you bring that mindset into real estate, you're dead pretty quickly because it's so competitive. But if you go into it with the mindset of there's an investment opportunity, it's not perfect for everybody, but it could work for somebody. Let me just find that somebody. Then you have this really scalable opportunity to help people. So I'm very curious as to what drew you to real estate as the asset class you wanted to land in, knowing that back when you made the move, or residential real estate investment properties was not an asset class. And it's an asset class now, these single family rentals. And it's gotten so big that, of course, hedge funds and institutional investors like you came from are now buying all the rental properties up that they can get a hold of. So knowing back in the Stone Ages, that wasn't happening except for REITs. What drew you to real estate? Was it buying your own house? Was it a TV show you watched, a buddy of yours that was flipping something? What was the hook that set into you?
It's kind of twofold. So first it was, you know, as you know, when you were a stockbroker, it's all about diversifying a portfolio, trying to limit the correlation. And for those that aren't familiar with that term, it just means how are these two investments going to interact? Essentially, is, you know, are they going to do the same thing? And that's not what you want them to do. And coming from that stock world, stockbroker world, it's like, just add more. But no, you're just adding more of the same thing. It's not true diversification. So right. Is that
like buying McDonald's and then buying Apple and then buying Intel? You're not diversified, friends. Like, carry on.
Exactly. So that was the first thing. It's just like what you alluded to earlier. It was more what's beneficial for, you know, that firm and the advisor, like what's good for their pocket, not necessarily the client. So now I do like big multifamily properties. And whenever I hear like a prospective investor say, oh, let me run this by my financial advisor, I know I lost them because they're going to bring it to them. And the advisor is going to say no, just because they want to keep that money in house, just like a casino. You know, if it leaves house, they don't make any money. So whenever I hear that, I'm like, lost this guy. Maybe I'll circle back in a couple months. But the second thing why I really got into real estate, obviously, it's a great diversification tool. It's more cost effective than stocks. There's not as much, you know, the fees. It's tax efficient. That's the big thing. I have a podcast and it's all about multifamily investing, and not just because it's a great investment, but also bring my financial background into it, because it's not what you make, but what you keep. And tax is a big part of that, obviously, as you know. Well, what really made me kind of make the jump, because at first I was just doing it for my own personal portfolio. I was buying like triplexes, fourplexes, duplexes. But what really made me make the jump is I was looking back. My grandfather's a big role model for me. He entrepreneur, self-starter, and he also invests in real estate. And it's kind of funny because going along, he'd always tell me he did so well in the stock market and that's what I should pursue. That's kind of what made me go down that path I originally went down. But when I look back at it, he would always say, the real estate's my retirement, because he owned real estate from his business and other things as well. And then I also looked at other successful people from where I was from, and the guys that had time and money, and then also looked at some of my buddies who had time and money. They were able to build their own schedule, their own calendar, do what they wanted to do, and made a great income. All of those people were in real estate. And that was kind of like the aha moment. It also goes back on, I see behind me, but the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, same thing. Take control of your life in real estate. There we go.
Have you read this one?
I have not read that one.
Y'all, this is who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. If you're wondering which book Sean's pointing at, it's Robert Kiyosaki's book. This is the one I'm almost done with now, but hey, look, great minds think alike.
There we go. Gotcha. I'm going to check that one out then. But yeah, so that was kind of this is my mindset change of like, I do want to create a life that's around me. I want to work for my dream, not someone else's dream, and then be able to give back in the ways I want to give back at the end of the day. And to me, real estate was the way to do it, specifically commercial, because the way I look at it, each multifamily apartment complex is like its own business, has its own business plan, and then you sell based on net operating income, not based on comps. So that was really what kind of got that hook into me and why I made the change.
And just for the record, friends, if you don't know what net operating income is, cash on cash return, any of those numbers, we call it NOI, by the way, you can go to Bigger Pockets. They have an amazing podcast and they've got lots of these topics broken down bit by bit. So you can go get yourself a little more educated. But I got to circle back to one thing you said, Sean, because you talked about how real estate allows you to chase your dreams and not somebody else's dreams. A lot of the public tends to think of real estate investors as cold-hearted landlords. I just want to drop the reminder out there that we're also fulfilling somebody else's dream, because if that apartment is their first apartment outside of mom and dad's house, that's that dream of independence. Or maybe they just moved here from another country and they're getting their roots established and they're living in one of your apartments. That's their dream too. So landlords aren't just investors. They're also really better thought of as housing providers, because we have this opportunity to really scale our ability to put roofs over the heads of many people. And that's definitely a really warm and fuzzy part about investing we don't talk about very often. So anyway, I just had to circle on that since you talked about dreams. Talk to us about commercial multifamily. So when you talk about apartments, are you talking about these giant, big mega complexes that are on the corner of the freeway with the granite and the stainless steel and the floor to ceiling glass? Or are you talking about a 16-plex that's built next to a university? What is your definition of commercial multifamily?
Yeah. So as you know, the definition is five units or more, just because at that point you have to get a commercial loan. But what we focus on is 100 and above. We don't do the high rises, so no, like all the glass windows, but we do more of kind of like in your secondary markets, some tertiary markets. So it'll be anything from, you know, workforce housing, garden style. We'll do B class, C class. For those that aren't aware of that, it's just there's different types of multifamily. So you got your A classes, which is like your luxury building. Your B is below that, built probably 10 to 20 years before. Your C class is built further back than that. And then D class are those ones that usually I don't want to touch. Those are like what they call in like the war zone areas. Usually they need to be
all those a specialty product for people yeah. who have a higher risk tolerance than we have, Sean. That's what we call those higher
exactly.
risk.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what we do. And for instance, to go back on what you were just talking about is us as real estate investors, it's not just to make money, but also to improve the communities. Our last acquisition was 197 units, and we're bringing $2.5 million in what we call CapEx, so money to renovate the property. And so what we're going to do is we're going to completely reposition this property, rebrand it, bring in new amenities such as dog parks, playgrounds for children, grilling areas for the tenants, and then also completely redo the outside landscaping, new roofs, new siding, and paint the inside of the units, new counters, new flooring. So it's like, that's what you said. We come in and we improve a community. Like you said, it's someone's maybe first apartment. No matter where you live, whether you rent or own, you want to be proud of where you live. And
yes.
that's what we want to do. And yeah, it's great to make money. That's what we're all probably here for. But for me, it's nothing like walking onto one of those complexes that you just repositioned and you have tenants thanking you for doing that and cleaning out the bad tenants and just making yes. it a nice place. There's nothing like that. And I'm sure you know that, but it's a great feeling.
And honestly, that's part of the reason everybody should diversify your portfolios. You're never going to get that emotional return from owning mutual funds, even though I do own mutual funds. I also own bonds. I've got a portfolio on this side of equities and of debt to bring me a return. It doesn't fill my soul up like real estate does when you have the ability to have a garden level unit accessible to a disabled senior citizen who's on limited income. Man, you're really helping somebody's life there. So those of you that aren't investing yet, don't overlook that aspect of it. It can be tricky, which is why you have property managers, because they don't get as tangled up in the emotion, but there's a community return on investment as well. So how did you go from regular human to investing in 100 plus units in commercial apartments? Because that's going into a large amount of money space, which can be frightening to a lot of people to think about, how do I even get started? Where do I go in this pathway?
Well, first, I'm still a regular human, so anyone can do it. But you're right, there is a fear aspect there. And as there should be, especially with what I'm doing is I'm syndicating, which means I'm raising money from other people. So it could be you, the listener, could be Lee, I could be investing in someone else's syndication, and we're pooling money together. So the way I like to look at it is like, remember back when you were a kid, maybe you wanted to buy something nice for your parent, or you wanted to buy something nice for your teacher. You'd pool money together with your siblings or your classmates to buy that nice thing that you wouldn't be able to afford yourself. So that's essentially what we're providing, is the benefits of commercial multifamily for anyone to get in on. And like me, I can't go buy a $10, $20 million property by myself, but I can bring in a bunch of people to do it. And so how I made the change was I came from an institutional background. I knew I wanted to do commercial multifamily. I just knew that I had to invest in myself first to do that. And so it was a lot of self-educating from listening to podcasts like yours, reading. The universities of Google and YouTube helped quite a bit. And then I reached out to a mentor, because I think that's super important. No matter what you want to do, find someone that's doing what you want to do, that's living the life that you want to have one day, and reach out to them. But don't reach out to them from a point of taking. Reach out from a point of giving. Add value. Maybe the value is you pay them to do it. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe the value is you give them your time. For some of these big syndicators, one of the tasks that takes a lot of time is underwriting, especially the preliminary part of it. Obviously, they're probably not going to bring you in if you've never done it before. But if you want to help, like maybe just data entry, that's one thing. And how I did it is I wrote a letter. I handwrote a letter to the individual that I wanted to be my mentor. And he called me right away. He's like, hey, did you know that that's my trick? That's how I get people's attention. So we just kind of hit it off on that. And yeah, he's been my mentor. And it makes big steps a lot easier because you can fall back on that person. They've had the experience. They've run into the problems. And so it's just a great way. I'm not here to say that you're not going to make mistakes because you're going to, and that's a great part of learning. But when you have a mentor, you make a lot less, which is also very important. Yeah, I wouldn't be where I am today without my mentor. Continues to guide me, has guided me from the beginning. And that's kind of how I made the switch. So if anyone's interested in doing something like that, I would highly recommend reaching out to a mentor.
Well, it's great advice. And it's one of those constant things we hear from people that are highly successful. They say, find somebody doing what you'd like to do and shadow them. The biggest question comes in of, how do I find them? So how did you find the one you wanted to mentor before you sent that handwritten note? Were you looking for somebody that owned property, or did somebody through an investors association or through meetups, or how did you pinpoint them? Because if you're in any size market, that can feel like a needle in a haystack, especially if you're new to the game.
Yeah, of course. So I wanted to find someone that was doing multifamily syndications. They've been doing it for several years and that they are still doing it. So you never should get a mentor that maybe did it in the past, but is not really doing it now, but they're in the education space. Because as you all know, the real estate market changes, especially in today's market, changes every day. So you need someone who's doing the business now, because even if they were doing it 2-3 years ago, a lot has changed. So they're not going to be as effective in coaching you and mentoring you as someone who is in the game with you today. So that was the first aspect. They had to be doing it for the past like 10 plus years and doing it now. And then two, I wanted to connect with them on a personal level too, because I feel like you can just make better connections and have a better relationship when you connect on personal things. So this individual was like us, Lee. He was also a stockbroker. So he came from that background. So we connected on that. He's big on family. I'm big on family. And he's also big on giving back and improving others' lives, which I am too. So we really connected on that. And so, yeah, I chose him and wrote him a letter.
Okay. So I told y'all that I would do a review of Follow Up Boss, you know, because I'm your friend in real estate. And I did. Now, you know, there's a Blue Million CRM out there. I mean, if you go to any Facebook group, every realtor's like, which one should I use? Which one should I use? And you know that these CRM, which are client relationship managers or customer relationship manager, whatever you want to call it, it's truly a system that's just designed to help you know what to do next, because you're very busy and you're a multitasker in real estate. With all those different tasks and balls up in the air, you need something to help you stay on track. And that's what Follow Up Boss does. Now, when you save a name and a phone number in there, that is basically a Rolodex. Follow Up Boss is going to take the names and phone numbers and also help you know what to do next, so you can maintain these relationships with your neighbors. Because that's what this is about. Real estate is not about serving just prospects and clients. It's about taking great care of your neighbors' needs in real estate. And if you'll use a tool like Follow Up Boss, where they remember you, oh, they might even call you when they're ready to buy or sell again, or when their mom and daddy do, or their best friend or their kid, and you want to be top of mind. That's what a product like Follow Up Boss will do for you. Truly, it's going to change your business when you start paying better attention to people. They don't have to know you use Follow Up Boss, but they'll totally understand that they are being heard by you. So now there's a free trial for my people because you're loved. Go to followupboss.com/crazy. No credit card is required. And frankly, because you're my people and we made an ask for you, Follow Up Boss said, yes, you get double the free trial. That's actually enough time to log in, put some pieces in it, and watch it change your business as it has for so many realtors and teams nationwide. Again, go to followupboss.com/crazy to start your free trial today. Oh, it's so impactful, friends. So let me go backwards to something that really is relevant. You mentioned a couple times in describing your pathway to finding your mentor that you wanted somebody with the depth of experience, but that it also be current because things change. You also mentioned at the very beginning of our conversation, being able to keep what you're making. And we think about how tax laws are changing. So of course, we're recording this in October of 21. I'm going to take a wild guess here that you're paying attention to a lot of the proposed tax changes in Washington, D.C., and how that could impact your investment strategy. So are you concerned about the threat to the 1031 tax deferred exchange, which is what many investors use to level up their holdings? Are you concerned about the changes to capital gains? Are you concerned about this really insane proposal to tax gains before they're even realized? So I'm curious what your, that one's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's insane.
But nothing's beyond the morons in DC. But so what do you
have
as a priority that you think is going to impact your strategy going forward? Or do you put much weight on what they're doing as far as regulatory and legislative policy?
Yeah, you have to pay attention, obviously, because it could completely change your business. But personally, I feel, and I will proceed this by saying I'm no tax expert or political expert, but
we always recommend that you call your tax advisor, your tax attorney, as we ramble on about tax implications. We're just people who know enough to be dangerous. So carry on.
There we go. I think they're just blowing smoke, and there's a lot of, they want to put everything on the table. So then, like any negotiating, you want to ask for your highest and best first, so then you can take some things off. Will they make changes to the 1031? Unfortunately, probably, but I don't think it will be to the extent where it's at now. Right now, I believe it's proposed, it's only the first like 500,000, which is just insane because especially where today's market is, that's not going to get you anything. And the reason for tax incentives to real estate is obviously because the government wants us to build housing and they want us to maintain current housing because that's one of the necessities of life, roof over your head, shelter. And currently we're at about deficit of 4 million units in the US. So I don't think there's any way they can do what they're proposing they're going to do because people are just going to take their money elsewhere if you're just going to be whacked with capital gains taxes. And then it's going to further hurt housing. I don't want to call it a crisis, but we're getting pretty close. The situation we're in, I just don't see them doing that. Another one that kind of I'm looking at too is the proposal of the self-directed IRA business. Because that's, I raise money from that arena where everyday person with an IRA can have it in a self-directed IRA and invest directly into real estate, which is huge for people that normally, they don't have 50 plus thousand just in a bank account, but they probably have it in an IRA that they can put it into real estate and diversify their portfolio. So right now it's proposed that they want to, they're saying that if any investment offering limits an individual, anything from investment like limits, minimums, whether if you have to be accredited or non-accredited, that you can't invest in that. And that's what a syndication does. The SEC requires you to have those limits. And so that'll immediately wipe out that business. And what's even crazier is that anyone who is currently invested in a syndication, if this goes through, that is using their IRA money, will have to pull the money out within 2 years.
Oh, I didn't catch that part.
Yeah,
so it's going to be retroactive?
Yeah. So that could decimate portfolios. People would have to pull money out, which then is going to hurt the property itself. And all that's going to happen is the big institutional players are just going to come in and swipe it up. And it's just going to help the big guy and hurt the rest of us. So that made it past, I believe, don't quote me on this because I'm not that great with the inner workings of politics, but I believe it passed, where does it go first? The Senate or the House? But it passed the first
House,
one.
This legislation is House first and then Senate and then reconciliation. Right. And that's what they're fighting.
So it's on its way to the Senate. So we'll see. Yeah, but those are the two things that are, they'll just be god-awful if it goes through. And
let me toss one thing in here real quick. For those of y'all that feel like you just got the fire hose pointed at you with stuff you may or may not have known. First of all, people do wind up with large amounts of money in an IRA because of a company they used to work at where they had a 401k. So if you leave a job at, let's just say Intel, where you had a 401k, you don't have to leave the 401k at Intel when you've moved on to be the new guy at Panera Bread. You can roll over that 401k to a self-directed IRA. And so if you're a real estate professional, you really should be talking to your client base and say, if you've ever changed jobs, and you've got all this money sitting over that's not doing anything, we can talk about what real estate options you may have. And you could introduce them to a single family residential house in your market, but you could also introduce them to somebody like Sean, where there's syndication options, where they're sharing the risk with other people on larger projects. So that's where that money comes from. And if you weren't aware, because real estate training is very uneven around the country, if you weren't aware that somebody could use their IRA to buy real estate, highly, highly, highly recommend that you do some research on that, because it's a wonderful opportunity for diversification for people who may not even know it's an option. And that's one of the reasons we do shows like this, is to make sure that whoever's listening can tell the people they know. So you take what you hear and go scale it out to help other people learn. And if you're already educated and kind of horrified at how far the proposed legislation goes, like Sean's mentioning here, which could decimate an entire segment, which hurts your neighbors who need to have a roof over their head, because you, the individual investor or your clients, are far more likely to work with people when they're in a pinch than a hedge fund is. It owns that building. Ding, ding, ding. You need to call your elected officials and tell them to pump the brakes on these legislative activities, because they may not notice it in a 2,800 page bill, which is a different conversation for a different day, but also why everything's broken right now. They put all this crap into one big crap fest. Nobody reads it. And then entrepreneurs pick up the pieces later. So anyway, a lot of explanation for you there on a topic that many people find to be boring, unpalatable, and not interesting, can be devastating to your business and to your financial success. Pay attention, folks. It's not about the party of who's elected. It's about what people in power do when they think you're not paying attention. That's all.
Couldn't agree more.
So anyway, back to the topic of the show, actually, because we've kind of gone down some rabbit holes here. You've been doing real estate. You're doing big apartment complexes. Yeah. You're doing syndication. You're using all the big multisyllabic words. But we're here on crazy shit in real estate, and we like to know the wild tales and the I can't believe that story. So give me a scenario that Sean Winslow ran into that I won't believe.
Do you want to hear one from a smaller property or one of the bigger ones? I can do both too.
You can take any approach you want, because my listeners, my viewers, the more what it is, the more interested they are. So you just pick the angle and tell them a story.
Okay. Well, I'll start off with a small one. So this is when I was starting out. I had bought a triplex, got it. This is a while ago. Imagine this. You could buy it and the offer's accepted under asking. So it was...
Oh, the good old days. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So I purchased that one. It was great. Still own it. It's a great investment. And then I went and house hacked. So I bought a house that I lived in one unit. It was a duplex and rented out the other. Another great investment. I don't want to say I got an ego, but you know, I had some confidence and I wanted to get another one before the year ended, obviously just to get some more units, but also tax reasons as well. And I brought a partner in on this one. He's an engineer, so really good at underwriting. He found this property. The numbers looked great. So I went and took a look at it. It was in a tertiary market, which the bigger properties, I'm comfortable in tertiary markets, but not necessarily the small ones, just because if you're three units, you don't really know the market. If you have some vacancy issues, it's usually a lot worse in a smaller property. But anyways, I went and looked at this property. It definitely needed some love, but I like buying value add because you can actually improve a property both for the tenant and also for yourself. And so I go into this property. I stepped in dog crap when I first got there. Yeah, exactly. And then so I had to take my shoe off in every unit I went into from there on. And one of the units, the top one, was like disgusting, like hoarder, and to the point of where like you were done eating, let's say like a bag of chips, and you just throw the bag on the ground. The sinks and toilets were stained. It was just really disgusting. The other two units were pretty good though. And the numbers were just crazy. Like for those of you that invest, you've probably heard of the 1% rule, which if you don't, it means that for a good investment, your 1 month rent should be 1% of your purchase price. And this property was like above 2%, like approaching like 3% rule. So, which made me nervous too, because like, why this? And this was before the market went crazy too. So I made him an offer, not way below, but like a good like 10 to 15K below his asking. And we did a little negotiation. He accepted. And then I go to the day of closing and I go look at the property before we meet up, because he wanted me to, because something happened at the property. the parcel of land above my property. So they actually used that driveway to get up there to build their land. And they had just completely redid the driveway and started flattening out the land to start building the house. Well, what it did is it changed the way water would run, and it was coming towards my property. So when I got there, there was a huge ditch dug in her driveway and then went down the back part of where property I was going to buy was just completely dug up. And I'm like, really? This is my third property. I got to deal with this day of closing. We're supposed to be at the closing in like 30 minutes. And I had to make like a decision and call my partner, let him know what was going on. And we purchased the property. And looking back, I shouldn't have done that. It was the learning lesson for me was don't fall in love with the numbers. It's more than that. And ever since then, that property's been a headache. We're in the process of repositioning it. The tenants started paying and then they stopped paying during COVID. Couldn't evict them. And so now we're starting to get on the other end of that. And hopefully we're going to get them out soon and then completely renovate the property. And I just want to get rid of it. But I got a crazier story and a bigger property if you want to hear it. It's quick.
I do, but let's point one thing out on your triplex, which is it's okay to walk away.
Yep.
And I think that you just mentioned you had gotten emotionally attached to that return because it was something that was unheard of in the marketplace, but you have to calculate the real cost of water because then you're talking environmental, you're talking foundation impacts, you're talking a hot mess. And it can't always be solved easy and elegantly because you may have to involve your municipality. So when you see something like that, if it means spending $5,000 to walk away, sometimes you walk away to live to fight another day. So I'll just point that out on your behalf. And we won't fight about the, not fight, we won't go down the rabbit hole of the tenant moratorium because that's one of the worst decisions ever made by Washington, D.C. And we just don't have time. We could have a whole nother episode on that and how that could have been handled better. But anyway, what's the other story, Sean?
Oh, man. So bigger apartment complex, they usually have like a lot. If it's not in-unit laundry, there's a laundry room. And we were told that there was traffic going in and out and like that there was disturbances around that. So in the big complexes, we have security cameras, especially in those common areas, obviously not in the units, but in the common areas.
Sure.
And so we looked at the footage and there was a business being conducted in that laundry room.
Was this a business that was off the books and perhaps not the most legal business in the world?
Yeah, it wasn't drugs, but it was something else that's very illegal to charge money for.
Was it the world's oldest profession?
Yeah.
In the laundry room? Okay, that sounds like a terrible porn channel.
Pretty much. I guess we could have made some money off of that, but no. But yeah, it was the wildest thing I've ever seen. Yeah, I was shocked.
Did the tenants know about this and they weren't reporting it back, or were they not paying attention?
That I don't know. I think they knew, but no one wants to be a rat. So
I would be a rat about that. Give me two shoes. I would turn that in.
Yeah. So we got that solved. So that was a crazy story that happened.
What we might refer to that as, if you're doing the books on that business, is that laundry room has a very high rate of return.
Very high rate of return. They were laundering some good money out of there.
Laundering. Okay. So Sean, if anybody wants to connect with you to learn more about the syndicates that you work in, the products that you offer, just to connect with you in general, how is it best that they reach out to you?
Yeah. So to learn more about what we do, website is Greenbrier CG. So Greenbrier Capital Group, greenbriercg.com. But if you want to connect with me personally, I'm on Instagram a lot. My at symbol is Sean O'Wins. So S-H-A-W-N-O-W-I-N-S. You can find me there. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook as well. And then I have a podcast, Multifamily Money, where we talk all things multifamily and money. Because like I said, it's not what you make, but what you keep.
And to make your life easier, dear audience, all of Sean's links and social handles are in the show notes for this episode. So just go to the show notes, click, 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 subscribe and like and friend up to your heart's content and go learn some more things so that you can expand your holdings and maybe stop working for other people and learn how to work for yourself in a world gone mad that can help protect your sanity. Sean, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us so much information and insights.
Well, Lee, thank you for having me. It's been a real honor and it was fun.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure. And friends, if you learned something from Sean, now's your chance to go to the comments and leave him some happy notes. Give me 5 stars and hit subscribe because you never know what you're going to get over here. Meanwhile, I'll see you next time. Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.